Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, July 23rd. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XX, the third paragraph, and it's the forward to the second edition. The third paragraph down, alcohol being no respecter. We're reading through two paragraphs, ending with To a New Freedom. So we're finishing out that chapter. Comments on both. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Liz T., The 12 Traditions, Reggie O., and the readers of the text are Roz G., Robin P., and Janice P. M. And the share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, July 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,027, that is 15027. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, July 23rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,033, that's 15033. And our newcomer greeter is Kara L., and our announcements coordinator, or announcements person, is Leslie M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Liz T., and I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Reggie.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service this morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do this, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. And that is the star 1 feature on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XX in the foreword to the second edition, the third paragraph down, beginning with alcohol being no respecter of persons, and reading through two paragraphs, ending with to a new freedom. And I will now ask Roz G. to get us started. Good morning, Roz.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Roz G., recovered compulsive eater from Palmdale, California. Alcohol being no respecter of persons, we are an accurate cross-section of America and in distant lands. The same democratic evening-up process is now going on. By personal religious affiliation, we include Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Hindus, and a sprinkling of Muslims and Buddhists. More than 15% of us are women. At present, our membership is pyramiding at the rate of about 20% a year. So far, upon the total problem of several million actual and potential alcoholics in the world, we have made it only a scratch. In all probability, we shall never be able to touch more than a fair fraction of the alcohol problem in all its ramifications. Upon therapy for the alcoholic himself, we surely have no monopoly. Yet it is our great hope that all those of us who have yet found no answer may begin to feel one in the pages of this book and will presently join us on the high road to a new freedom. Wow. Well, there's a couple of things that jumped out at me this morning, and I listened to the 4 a.m. meeting my time, and a lot was said about people who can relate to having prejudice against all kinds of people. And what pops out at me is that alcohol is not a respecter of persons. And I learned also in my religion of practice that God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? Well, that means that it doesn't, we are human beings in God's sight, and he sees our hearts. At least this is what I've learned, and I'm going to get to the big book, but that, you know, it doesn't matter. He loves us no matter what we are, who we are. He loves us, God, Spirit. Alcohol, on the other hand, doesn't care about who we are, what our color is, what our race, religion. It doesn't matter. Food, I should put it in this term, food doesn't matter. All of us come to this to these meetings in, with all different kinds of backgrounds. And I was a respecter of persons because in the my religious practice, I was taught that all these other different kinds of beliefs and stuff were wrong. So I had a prejudice against them. And thank God that I'm in these meetings because these steps have taught me to love everyone. And I have learned from so many different types of people that we all want the same thing. We all want what that prayer says in the back of the book in that story about freedom from bondage. We want happiness, joy, freedom. As far as I'm concerned, I want to be free from, I want to have neutrality towards food. And from what I've heard, everybody in these meetings want the same thing. We want neutrality. We want freedom from the disease of compulsive overeating. So when I come to meetings, thank God today, I don't care what religion or race or creed or color the people are. What I care about is that we are here on that lifeboat, that from the sinking ship, you know, paddling, sailing towards that high road of a new freedom. And in my experience, I'm experiencing that today. Every day I have some kind of feeling, but the tools give me the skills I need to do to walk on that new freedom. And closing saying that I heard a big book teacher say in a long time ago that Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't have a monopoly, that you know, the Salvation Army was helping out drunks a long time ago, as the Oxford work groups as well. But I'm so grateful, and I hear you, grateful for this meeting, grateful for the opportunity to be of service. I pass.
All right, thank you, Roz G, for getting us started, and I'm now going to take names of those who'd like to share on these two paragraphs. Page XX, forward to the second edition. It begins with alcohol being no respecter of persons and ending with to a new freedom. And
Janice,
although
PM,
we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share?
Barbara.
Tracy.
Barbara E.
Bruce E.
Wait a minute.
Janice,
there was somebody
PM
after Barbara E, and then I'll take
Tracy. Bruce.
Was that Sherry? Oh, Surrey. Surrey.
Yeah.
Surrey C. Bruce E. Who's after Bruce?
Janice PM.
Janice PM.
Liz T.
Liz T. And one more. Anyone else? Press star one to unmute. All right, we'll go with that group in order to be conscious of time. Barbara E., Surrey C., Bruce E., Janice PM, and Liz T. Barbara E., good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I love when I get a chance to join you on this meeting. Well, for me, the purpose of this book is to show others exactly how I have recovered and to explain clearly using precise language the steps that I had to take to affect my recovery. Because for 50 years, I failed to realize the extent to which I was physically and mentally and spiritually ill and how my viewpoint on life was distorted as an uncontrolled compulsive overeater. I tried and failed over and over again before I stumbled into the doors of OA 23 years ago. I failed to realize the danger of my position and to the extent to which the illness of compulsive overeating had damaged and deteriorated my mind. This program, by which we are all guided to recovery, is really quite simple. It actually needs little interpretation in itself. It will work if we live it. The barriers to success are ignorance of our illness, reservations, prejudice, fear, and dishonesty. OA, I now believe, is not a religious program, and that's what I was worried about, but a spiritual one that offered me a design for living by which I could live contented most of the time, no longer living merely to eat, but eating to live, because I learned that food was really not my enemy. My thinking was, and yes, there are certain foods I'm allergic to, in that I break out in fat or my bum gets bigger, so I certainly stay away from them. I learned that my mind needed to be reorganized and that I must throw out some lifelong concepts and ideas and accept that power that could guide me and keep me headed toward my true North Star, and to learn that if I thought less about me and more about what I could do for you, I'd live a happier, saner life. Thank you, I pass.
Well, thank you, Barbara E. Surrey C., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Surrey.
Hi, this is Surrey C., compulsive overeater, not recovered. I just want to say that on these lines, there's so many voices of recovery, and I feel like it's highly intimidating, horribly intimidating. And weeding out and figuring out how do I get from where I am to from not recovered to recovered. What does it mean when I hear somebody say that they relapsed? How could I possibly get onto the road of happy destiny when I'm suffering so much right now, so much today, and I just can't bear it, and I recognize how much food for me is my problem? And the answer ultimately is to let go. The answer ultimately is to partake in this fellowship, because my alcoholic substance is food. I tell people it's alcohol. It's not a respecter of purpose. And some people, it's information. Some people are information gatherers, and they use that to possibly harm other people. And some people are shopaholics. And some people, what's amazing about food is I'm harming myself, and I'm not deliberately harming other people. But the thing is in harming myself, I'm harming all of the people around me. And that harm that I do to myself has those ripple effects. I am, you know, a devoutly Orthodox Jew who is really close friends with a devoutly Orthodox Christian. And people wonder, like, how could I possibly do that? I know I'm getting judged, and I know I'm getting stared at. I'm like, what in the world am I talking about? And maybe that's, I don't care, because the truth is they don't know that I know that her parents were alcoholics. She knows that I'm not an alcoholic. I just have food. Food is my form of alcohol. It doesn't make a difference what the substance is, what you put in place for that word of alcohol. The issue is that whatever the addictive substance is, it doesn't respect me. It doesn't respect me as a person. It doesn't respect anyone. And every day that I just show up to Visions is another day that I choose to do one small action, even though I'm not recovered, even though I might relapse, even though, God help me, that someday soon, if I keep taking these one small steps while I trudge and trudge and it hurts and it hurts, that I will end up joining all of those with solid recovery on the happy road to destiny. But in the meantime, I'm just claiming my seat today and saying thank you. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for allowing even those that are so far away from recovery to have a voice, to speak, and to say thank you for being so strong and for guiding us and allowing us to be a part of this fellowship. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you, Surrey C. Bruce E., followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Bruce E. in Florida, recovered, and I wanted to say barely recovered, but I am recovered. So emotions aren't totally recovered, that's for sure. Character defects aren't recovered, but I am recovered on the food, and food's neutral to me, and the obsession and the compulsion for food has lifted. It hasn't lifted, the obsession and compulsion hasn't lifted as far as fear and resentment go, but it has on that. And so alcohol is no respecter of persons, right? And that is absolutely true, because everybody I meet in this program is really very much different from me. The only thing we really have in common with a lot of these people, or the only thing I have in common with a lot of these people, is that I'm a food addict, you know? So that's the main thing, though. That's the starting base. That's the foundation. If I'm a food addict, somebody else is a food addict, doesn't matter too much where they go to church or whether they do or don't go or what religious affiliation they have or don't have one. That doesn't matter too much, really. It doesn't matter at all, really. Because I heard somebody say, hey, if you got a sponsor, if you're ready, if you got the gift of desperation, a monkey could sponsor you. Now, I've heard people say that, and I've sponsored some of those people that have said, I'm looking for somebody with this particular religious affiliation to sponsor me. And it happened to be my religious affiliation, so I jump right up and stand up and raise my hand, yeah, I'll sponsor you. And it didn't work. So the question is, why didn't it work? Because there were expectations there of, because that person has the same religious affiliation, now I'm going to get recovered, you know. But the whole thing, what it all comes down to, from what I've seen and learned in this program after 25 years, more than 25 years of chronically slipping, is that I got to pick up this book with somebody that's recovered and read it with them. And go through these steps. And that's what gets me recovered. It's not their background. It's not where they're coming from. It's not their affiliation. It's not their whatever religion they are. And so I didn't even know. I had a sponsor for a couple years. I didn't even know what he did for a living. And turned out when we did our fourth step, I shared mine, he shared his. And it turned out he had been retired as an executive with this gigantic corporation that I was very familiar with. So, you know, I never knew that, and it didn't matter. You know, all that stuff doesn't matter. So what we did before, what we do now, jobs, religion, all that spiritual stuff, thank you, doesn't matter. What matters is we get started and do this work and do it like our hair's on fire. And with that, I thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Bruce E. Janice P.M., followed by Liz T. Janice, good morning. Press star 1, Janice. We can't hear you.
Oh, sorry, Mo. Thank you, dear. I'm depending upon you to time me. That's what I was saying.
I will. Okay.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the last two paragraphs of this second edition. Well, if we go to the very first page of the second edition, what I see, and maybe we can review it, is this printed book, is the voices of hope. And if we notice on the last, where we're reading today, it's always about hope. We were all not recovered in the beginning, because if we were, we wouldn't be here. So it doesn't matter. This is where we start. You're having a start. I had a start with this book. Now, we all had the same problem, so we thought. You know, we were addicted to food, or we liked a certain substance, but that's not what this book's about. It's about that we all have the same solution. because we don't have the same food plan. Some of us are diabetic, some of us have heart problems, whatever. But what they're teaching us here is it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're, I mean, I talk to people from Israel, from, you know, all over the world. And we all want the same thing, a way out. A way out from going to the food for our answer. Well, that answer didn't work. So they're giving us hope here. They're telling us, doesn't matter who you are, but if we follow this same path, the 12 steps of this book, whether you believe it, whether you hopefully you're willing to believe it, then you will get a way out. They promise, we're promised that. And those that are recovered have a way out. Because, you know, we're humble. The people that wrote this book were expressed humility. We don't have a monopoly on this program, but we all found the God of our understanding to do what? To restore me and you to sanity, to remove that obsession of mind. If you've already found a way, you know, if you already found a way, that's fine. You know, but we will always be here, you know, until, you know, most of us die or whatever. But there's no other way out for me. I mean, this is my own experience. So we don't have a monopoly, naturally, because we're humble. We know that some people maybe really aren't compulsive overeaters, or they found another way. But we're all equal. We all have that same solution that we found. And hopefully, you know, you'll find that too. We don't own this way. This way out was given to me. So my purpose is to give it away. You don't have to believe in my God. You have your own God. Is it time now, dear?
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay, so I appreciate that. And this is a way out for me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. And before I go to Liz T., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XX of the Forward to the Second Edition. That's page 20, starting with the third paragraph down, alcohol being no respecter of persons, and reading to the end of that chapter. It ends with To a New Freedom. And after Liz, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Liz.
Hi there. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. Thanks for your service, everyone, this morning. I was just zoning in on a couple different areas here. The part about, at present, our membership is pyramiding at the rate of about 20% a year. And I was just thinking, wow, holy moly, that is rapid growth. And why was it so successful in those days? You know, we had the first 100 who followed the outlines of this book, how they became recovered. They became entirely abstinent. You know, they put down their substance 100%. And then they worked through whatever the primitive form of the steps were at that time, whether it was from the Oxford group, whatever it was like how Abby took Bill through the steps. And then Bill took Bob, and so on and so forth. What is different about our fellowship today, and why don't we have rapid growth in OA anymore? It seems like a lot of people come in, but do they stick? You know, do they stay, or are they in and out and in and out? And what was my story for the last 5 years was having trouble holding abstinence, maintaining any level of abstinence. Making it, you know, are some groups making it a diet club with group support, that kind of thing, the diet mentality. And, you know, then the last part of the paragraph, you know, we have no monopoly, yet it is our great hope that all those who have as yet found no answer may begin to find one in the pages of this book and will presently join us on the high road to a new freedom. So we might be the only representation of a big book that some of our fellow sufferers ever see. You know, not every OA group studies from the big book. So the more consistent we are, the healthier we are as a group, and we take that out into other rooms, we carry that message that there's hope, there's an answer, especially for gutter drunks, gutter eaters like me, where I, you know, burned through every possible conventional diet plan and group out there, and OA was the last house on the block for me, and the Big Book was the last house on the block within OA for me. You know, I had to try every other easier, softer method that I thought possible, and it turns out this is the easier, softer method, because once that mental obsession is removed, as it's promised in the 10-step promises, I can live life in between my meals, you know, and that is such a freedom that I always hoped for. I was always white-knuckling it and, like, holding your breath underwater in between meals. And my emotions became more magnified when I was abstinent. Life didn't get any easier, you know. So that's just what I was reflecting on this morning. And, yeah, one second, sweetie. That's what I was reflecting on this morning, just grateful to be at the last house on the block within OA. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Liz T., and I will now open the lines up for more people to share, but remember that if you have shared in the last 3 days, please hold off and so that others might share their experience too. So I will now take names of some more people who would like to share.
Liz S.
This is Amy N.
I have Liz S.
Wanda B.
Liz S. and then Amy N. And then was that Wanda?
Wanda B.
Wanda B.
Margo.
Margo.
Margo B.
So Margo.
B.
Margo B.
Audrey M. P.
Audrey M. P. One more. If not, we'll go with that group. We have Liz A. No, I think it was S. I think I got that wrong. Liz S., Amy N., Wanda B., Margo B., and Audrey M. P. Okay, Liz, was it S?
It was S.
Okay, thank you.
It's Liz S. recovered in New Hampshire. I think what struck me about just the opening is alcohol being no respecter. Food addiction or compulsive overeating is no respecter of persons, and it's a disease. And I was thinking, you know, cancer is no respecter. You know, many diseases are no respecter. This disease is no respecter of persons, of human life. It doesn't care. All it wants to do is to, you know, to hurt, even to kill. And I think I have to remember that. This is something very, very serious, and it has to be taken very, very seriously. And that is why, for me, this book is the only answer, because it's the only place that I finally came to that had the answer and helped me to solve the problem that I had with food, and gave me the instructions, you know, a page at a time as to what to do, because alcohol, food addiction, all of them have no respect for human life, none whatsoever. So I need this book for that. The other thing I'm reminded by is, you know, AA is open to all religions, but especially now, OA as well. I can't remember the tradition. There is no requirement for membership. That means we have to include all people of color, all religions. And I think it really has, obviously it has evolved, but I just want to mention that this has evolved over time, and especially in 2020. It's extremely important that all people be welcomed and be included in meetings, and be part of meetings. And that's really all I had to say, and with that, I will pass.
And thank you, Liz S. Amy N., followed by Wanda B. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, this is Amy N., recovered compulsive eater in Ohio. I'm really grateful to be on the line today, and I totally love the idea of the easier, faster way, being working through the Big Book. And it's funny because I thought I was looking for the easier, faster way before coming into program and trying all of the different diets and things that that I tried that never worked. But somehow I really do feel like, even though it's not been easy working, when I worked through the steps, especially the first time, it really has been the easier, softer way for me. Living in the food hell was truly hell for me. And the mental obsession and just all of it. And so the part that I just love in the last part of the paragraph is, it's our great hope that, I guess, the high road to a new freedom, that this program represents for me a freedom from the food obsession and a freedom from myself, or at least a growing freedom, I should say, from myself. I never realized before coming and being presented with the ideas in the big book that the more that I got outside of myself, the more happy, joyous, and free I would be. That was so mind-blowing to me and opposite of everything that I had ever learned. And so today I've been reminded that when I'm not feeling the freedom, when it is feeling more like bondage to me, then I'm doing something wrong in my program, because it is freedom. And so, yeah, I'm just really grateful to be on the line, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Amy N. Wanda B., followed by Margot B. Good morning, Wanda.
Oh, first, this is my third week in the rooms, and I thank you all for your service. And what I wanted to point out is that when it says alcohol being no respecter of person, as well as a compulsive overeater, it's no respecter of person. The two things that we all have in common is that we're going by the solution that is offered in the big book, as well as we all want to live, and we want to live to the best of our capacity. So once we reach that point, then we can be more vibrant members of our own communities, whatever religion you practice, whatever culture you're from, whatever economic group you are. But regardless of that, you have to be healthy spiritually, emotionally, and physically to be the best person you can be. And that is directed by whatever God of your understanding it is. For me, as a Christian, it's God. But whatever you have worked out as far as that person, that will lead you to healthiness in order to be effective in all the other sub-communities that you're part of. And I pass.
And thank you, Wanda B. Keep coming back. Let me see. Margot B., followed by Audrey M.P. Good morning, Margot. Margot, press star 1 to unmute. We can't hear you. Can't hear you still. Margot?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can,
can you hear
now.
Me?
Yes,
oh,
now.
Oh, thank you so much. Sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. Hi, it's Margot, compulsive overeater. Just want to claim my seat. The slogan that comes to my mind is, I came for the vanity, stay for the sanity. Because everything is centered in my mind. And this big book is about me finding God, walking with God, being of service, cleaning house, trust God, and help others, right? And I feel like Piles of people, places, and things. Food is just one of the things for me. And what do I want? I want to love and be loved. But how can I love and be loved if I'm beating the crap out of myself by my defects of character that I do and beat myself up over, like, oh, how could I have done that? Slipping into the same thing. Or picking up the food. Like, I can literally use food as a weapon to hurt myself. I can use the scale as a weapon to hurt myself. I look at the mirror, and I use that as a weapon to hurt myself. Why? Because for me, it's about how do I feel about me? How do I see me? And that's why it's so important for me to go to God. I got to keep going to God. Oh, my gosh. So many times in a given day. Like, let me see things. Let me see me through your eyes so that I'm not hurting myself. I'm not beating the crap out of myself. People, places, things, relationships, situations, and food. I just needed to claim my seat because I have to keep, and I've been saying this a lot. God is either everything or he's nothing. What is my choice to be? And I just have to keep saying, okay, everything. That means everything. And the constant surrendering. Oh, I don't forget about it. It's like I just needed to claim my seat. And, oh, my goodness, the dieting, the starving, the binging, the getting on my knees and the begging and but no willingness, you know? So I got a clean house, trust God, give service, and that's all I got. So thank you so much, everybody, for being there. Thank you for everybody's share. Thank you for your services. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Margot B. And we will have Audrey MP next, and we might have time for one more share after Audrey. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. And good morning, Team Thursday. Thank you, everybody, for your shares already. When I read the forward to the second edition, I think about all the numbers, like the statisticians that wrote this book and the percentage, 15% were women, you know, the hundreds and scores of people that we've reached, you know, around the world. And I often wonder if there'll be another edition written to reflect on this COVID Zoom phone meeting. You know, how many people have we really reached? And how? What's the percentage of women to men? I'm thinking in my mind, if I took the phone list and put it alphabetical order and how many women to men, it doesn't matter. We're all compulsive overeaters, and I'm so grateful that we have technology to bring us together on this call today. When I so I just finished the steps with a sponsor, and I had a food sponsor who's very loving and kind, but I'm not losing weight. And what I realized,
muted. Somebody, could you please mute your phone if you're not Audrey? Thank you. I'm sorry, Audrey. Go ahead.
It's okay. So I just really realized I've been on a different food plan for a few days, and it's what people eat when they want to lose weight, and for medical reasons, I need to. And I'm thinking, you know, if I don't follow the thesis of the book, if I don't get a higher power who loves me no matter what, my problems are going to continue to bother me and become the excuse of why I picked up this and why I picked up that. And I was thinking, if I stay in the food, I don't need God. I don't need to sit and write a 10-step. I don't need to reach out to all of you. I just can go to the kitchen. And it's painful. I heard someone earlier share about the pain to have 27 years of recovery from bulimia and to still struggle in the food is cunning, powerful, and baffling for me. And it doesn't have to be. So I'm excited to get on the train. I'm excited to do more work. I'm excited to get better and feel better. And again, thank you all for the meeting this morning, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey MP. So we have time for maybe two 2-minute shares or one. 3-minute share or so. And if you haven't shared in the last few days, please hold back and let someone else share. Anybody would like to take that slot?
Shanna C.
Shanna C. Let me just see if there's anyone else in there quickly before I take you, Shanna.
Carol D.
Carol D. Okay. How about we take 2 minutes each? Okay, girls? Thank you.
Yep.
Shanna C.,
hey.
Go ahead.
Thanks, everyone who shared, and thanks for everyone's service on this meeting. Shanna C., gratefully recovered by the grace of God in these 12 steps in this fellowship and the directions in this book. Food, alcohol, being no respecter of persons, it just takes me back to the fact that when I got this time around where I fully conceded to my innermost self that I really did have this thing, despite the fact that I had multiple years of recovery and other programs. For the longest time, I had no, I had the lurking notion that I was different and that the God that I'd found in other programs, and I knew the book and was able to quote it and was able to, and it's experienced so many other miracles in my life. As a result of that, you know, there was this idea that that this was just a thing that I was struggling with, didn't really concede to my innermost self that I was a compulsive eater. And so even while in recovery for multiple years, compulsive eating did not respect the fact that I was in another program. I realized that I needed help from people that I didn't think I was like for a thing that I didn't think I had. And was able to be granted the gift of desperation to concede and to take that step one and complete, or not complete, I'm still living in 10, 11, and 12, obviously. But to be able to put down the food and gain access to a power greater than myself that solved my problem, and to think that the obsession for food and dieting and all that has been lifted is an absolute miracle for my life, and I'm grateful for it. And it's all because there was a compulsive overeater that shared her story and was available when I was ready, and she took me through these steps. And I hope that I can share that with someone else, and glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Shanna C. Carol D., you'll be our last share for today. Take 2 minutes. Good morning, Carol. Press star 1 to unmute. Can't hear you, Carol. And Carol, did we lose you? Anybody else want to take those last 2 minutes quickly? All right. We may just close early.
Also.
Who is that? Who's this?
Perry B.
Oh, I didn't get your... Oh, Perry B. Okay. Go ahead, Perry. You got 2 minutes.
Okay. Hi. My name is Perry B. Compulsive Overeater in Florida. I just want to thank everybody for being there and saying how grateful I am to my sponsor and my higher power, that one day at a time I have been able to, for the last couple of months, stay away from sugar, flour, alcohol. I was diagnosed with tonsil cancer, and I've been avoiding going for treatment, so now it's spread. So I could use a lot of prayers. I just had to set up all the appointments. And what I learned from this was to avoid things and to act as if it doesn't exist and lie to myself doesn't work. Like saying that I'm not an overeater or compulsive person, that is not true. I am, and I have to be on a food plan and listen to the meetings and do all of the steps and do all of, you know, the necessary things to remedy the condition, because I truly feel that had I been following my food plan and staying away from sugar and flour, I might not have gotten this cancer. And now it's very sad. I have to limit my foods to soft foods. And yes, I've lost 35 pounds. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. So grateful for that, but I don't wish this on anybody. And if anybody out there is listening that they're struggling, just remember what I said, never give up. And being strong, knowing that we can fight this disease one day at a time with the help and support of the group and our sponsor, our higher power, is what we need to focus on today, because without the program, I would have been worse than I am now. So I am grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Perry B. You have our prayers. I want to thank Team Thursday for their service today, and we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Robin P. to read a vision for
Hi.
You.
Thanks, Mo. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning prayer, meditation, what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.